And now it's time for Power of Prophecy, continuing the legacy of Tex Mars, exposing evil, and promoting Jesus Christ as Savior. Here's your host, Jerry Barrett.
Hello, friends, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. I'm your host, Jerry Barrett, honored to have you join me again this week. We are up to volume number 331 of Secrets, and we have got quite a few to get to today. But first, I have some prayer requests, and I want to thank everyone who has written in, called in, and emailed asking for prayer. We appreciate the ability, the honor, the blessing to pray for you. And we appreciate your prayers for us here at the ministry. Got an email from Lena in Bangladesh. She's asking that God will provide financial needs for her to attend training in Malaysia and bless many women through her teaching and mentoring. Ali in Finland emailed and said, thanks for the prayers. It has been a blessed time doing gospel work. I'm still asking for prayer that my wife will pass the exam no matter how difficult it is, and for funds to do the work of the gospel, and that Jesus would open all the doors and that he will get a good team for the outdoor work he does on the street. Keep up the great work, Lena. Ollie, Fran in Michigan sent me an email, and this one touched me because I had spoken to her husband in the past. She's asking for prayer for her and her family. Her husband, Dave, passed away recently from prostate cancer, and they were expecting this disease to eventually take him, but the finality is very difficult to adjust to. So please hold Fran and the family up in your prayers. Very sweet couple and a very sweet lady, and she really needs our prayers of support and comfort. Keep Dave in Indiana in your prayers. We are blessed to pray for each and every one that calls, that writes, that emails. It is a blessing, and we appreciate you honoring us with your prayer requests. Now we need to dive into our secrets program, and something happened today, the day I'm recording this, that is very disturbing, and it should be to every Christian in this country. We know for a fact what is taught in Scripture that the Jews killed Jesus. We know this. The Apostle Paul, a Jew himself who was there at the stoning of the first martyr Stephen, says in 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 14 and 15, "For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men." Legislation that left the House today claims that this is anti-Semitism. That's right. But it's not anti-Semitism, it's not racism, it's not hatred. This is biblical truth. In John 1, verse 11, John tells us, quote, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not," close quote. Right? That's the verse. But that is anti-Semitic, according to this new legislation. It was dubbed the Anti-Semitism Awareness Act, House Resolution 6090. It should have been House Resolution 666. But if this passes through the Senate, and the demon rats that are godless, that control the Senate, and Joe Biden, resident Joe Biden, passes and signs this bill, Americans who are Christians could face dire consequences. The bill defines anti-Semitism broadly and uses the definitions provided by the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance. The bill makes it an offense to apply double standards to Israel or to accuse it of genocide, categorizing such actions as hate speech. Marjorie Taylor Greene, she is not one of my favorite representatives, but she has expressed concern that this bill's definition of antisemitism could criminalize Christians for their religious beliefs, particularly the narratives in the gospel regarding the death of Jesus Christ. This is something that I spoke with Reverend Ted Pike a couple years ago about. This is getting real. There is a war on Christianity. Man, that's enough to give you pause, isn't it? The fact that if you preach the gospel and you tell the truth that the Jews killed Jesus, then you are guilty of a hate crime if this new legislation is signed into law. Now, you know this is going to get challenged all the way up to the Supreme Court as a violation of the First Amendment, but the demon rats don't care. They do not care. They want to radicalize the children. They want to do away with Christianity. What happened in Bolshevik Russia? They burned down all the churches, or they turned them into whorehouses, or they turned them into stables for farm animals, and they killed all the preachers. That's where this country's going. And we need to be a vocal majority and quit sitting on our hands with our mouths quiet, and we need to let people know that we are not going to put up with this kind of garbage. And I came across this in the Epic Times, written by Zachary Stieber, dated May 1st, 2024, entitled CDC Found Evidence COVID-19 Vaccines Caused Deaths. CDC knew this. They found evidence that Pfizer-BioNTech, Moderna, COVID-19 vaccines caused multiple deaths before they claimed there was no evidence linking the vaccines to any deaths. CDC, according to this article, CDC employees worked to track down information on reported post-vaccination deaths and learned that myocarditis, heart inflammation, which is a confirmed side effect of these jabs, was listed on death certificates and in autopsies for some of the deaths. In other cases, CDC workers found that deaths met the agency's definition for myocarditis, that the patient started showing symptoms within 42 days of a vaccine dose, and that the deceased displayed no virus-related symptoms. Despite the findings, most of which were made by the end of 2021, the CDC claimed it had seen no signs linking Moderna and Pfizer mRNA jabs to any deaths reported to the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, or VAERS. The agency also said that evidence from 7 deaths from thrombosis and thrombocytopenia syndrome following the Johnson & Johnson jab suggested that the vaccine led to people dying. Dr. Andrew Bostom, a heart expert here in America, said, quote, "That's a scandal where you have information like this and you continue to put out this dishonest line that there's only 7 deaths and they're all unrelated to the mRNA vaccines." The CDC is concealing these deaths. This is Dr. Andrew Bostom, a heart expert. Now, people who died in the United States with confirmed or suspected COVID-19 were counted as COVID deaths, confirmed or suspected. That count included a number of deaths from unrelated causes. The CDC in 2023 advised death certifiers to include COVID-19 on certificates even if the deaths happened years after COVID-19 infection. Dr. Claire Craig, a British pathologist, said, quote, "They're taking the exact opposite approach to COVID deaths. Every death after a test was a COVID death. No death after a vaccine is a vaccine death," close quote. Now, the Epic Times filed a Freedom of Information request, and they received a file that outlines the agency's investigation into reports submitted to VAERS of suspected cases of myocarditis or pericarditis, a related condition, after people got the jab. In April of 2021, CDC employees contacted healthcare providers and other agencies to obtain medical records, death certificates, and autopsies as they sought to confirm whether each report was legitimate. The file shows the CDC examined 3,780 reports through April 13, 2023. Among the reported cases, 101 resulted in death. In one instance, a 37-year-old man started suffering symptoms that can be caused by myocarditis, such as shortness of breath, shortly after receiving the Moderna jab. The man collapsed 3 days after getting vaccinated and was soon pronounced dead. The CDC worker who was assigned to look into this death wrote that it was evident of a sudden death post-second dose of Moderna vaccine. Quote, one of the factors to death is acute myocarditis. There are other findings related to vaccine adverse event and non-vaccine related. Thus, it can't be distinguished that only vaccine may have caused the death, close quote. That was a CDC employee writing that. So before these adverse events started happening, anybody who died was classified as COVID. And now they're not wanting them classified as a vaccine death. Another man, 24, died about 2 months after receiving his second Pfizer jab. His healthcare provider diagnosed him with myocarditis. An autopsy listed complications of COVID-19 vaccine-related myocarditis as a cause of death. Another vaccine recipient, a 77-year-old man, was found dead at home. The autopsy confirmed the man had pericarditis and listed the cause of death as complications from the COVID-19 booster. Here we go again. The CDC worker who looked at that case said it met the CDC's definition of pericarditis based on the autopsy and death certificate, but noted there were comorbidities such as coronary artery disease that were listed as contributing to the death. Do you remember how many times there were people who died that were listed as COVID deaths that had other comorbidities like diabetes, lung disease, heart disease? But they were all listed as COVID deaths. Now the CDC doesn't want to recognize these as jab deaths. There was a male who suffered sudden cardiac death following a Johnson & Johnson jab. He was diagnosed with myocarditis and confirmed by the medical examiner. A CDC caseworker noted that the case did not technically meet the agency's case definition. A 55-year-old woman was found unresponsive in a field. This was in 2021 after a Johnson & Johnson jab. It was confirmed on autopsies that she had myocarditis and had suffered severe cardiac arrest. The death met CDC's case definition, but concurrent upper respiratory infection, quote, makes viral myocarditis a potential alternative cause. Isn't this enlightening? They don't want you to know that the jab can kill you. I saw a doctor come out today and said those that have gotten the jab will die in the next 3 to 5 years. If you have family that took the jab, how does that make you feel? My mom, my brother, my sister-in-law, I couldn't talk them out of it. They took the jabs. Then they got the Rona. So the Epoch Times was able to get this file and a bunch of emails that shows the agency, the CDC, started intervening shortly after the jabs were introduced in post-vaccination cases that led to death and sometimes overruled the certifier. A 23-year-old man left home on April 13th to go for a jog. He was found dead on the side of the road. His death occurred 4 days after receiving Johnson & Johnson's COVID-19 vaccine. An autopsy found myocarditis. And the case met the CDC's case definition for myocarditis. But the CDC's infectious diseases pathology branch weighed in. Quote, per IDPB evaluation, not myocarditis, the notes for the case say, close quote. Two of the cases in the file were reported by Dr. James Gill, the chief medical examiner of Connecticut, and several other doctors in a February 2022 peer-reviewed paper. The doctors revealed findings of atypical myocarditis in two teenagers after Pfizer vaccination, describing it as a post-vaccine reaction. CDC officials issued a public response saying IDPB's evaluation of the cases pointed to non-vaccine causes. In a blunt reply, the doctors said the CDC overstepped its role with the response and explained why the CDC's claims didn't hold up. There was another death of a minor examined by CDC workers after it was reported to VAERS. A 7-year-old in Washington State died on February 26, 2022, about 2 weeks after receiving the Pfizer jab. The medical examiner identified myocarditis as a cause of death, but, quote, per IDPB, infectious causes were identified, close quote. Other emails obtained by the Epoch Times show the CDC knew of several additional post-vaccination deaths in which myocarditis was found on autopsy before issuing a statement in 2023 on zero deaths. Yes, zero deaths. In 2022, the CDC received autopsy reports for George Watts, Jr., a 24-year-old from New York State who collapsed at home after receiving a Pfizer vaccine and died from, quote, COVID-19 vaccine-related myocarditis, close quote, and tested negative for COVID-19. Joseph Keating, a 26-year-old man from South Dakota, who per an autopsy and death certificate died from vaccine-induced myocarditis. But the responses and the CDC's position should not be surprising. It is among agencies that were, quote, leaders of the disinformation campaign to convince the American public, including George Watts, Jr., that experimental vaccines were safe and effective before they were licensed. This according to Ray Flores, an attorney representing the Watts family in a lawsuit filed against the government. The CDC's 2023 statement of zero deaths being linked to the Moderna and Pfizer vaccines was attributed to the Immunization Safety Office. This office was headed at the time by Dr. Tom Shimabukuro, S-H-I-M-A-B-U-K-U-R-O, who offered false information about COVID-19 vaccine safety during the pandemic. The CDC also hid the findings of hundreds of safety signals for the shots, including sudden death and tinnitus, and published a paper this month that was falsely promoted as debunking an association between sudden death and the mRNA vaccines. Get this. More than 676 million doses of the vaccines have been administered to date. Johnson & Johnson's vaccine has been pulled from the market. But the CDC maintains that shots from Pfizer, Moderna, and Novavax are safe and effective. Close quote. Is there something afoot here? Because it sure sounds like it. The CDC is corrupt. They tell you trust the science. The former director of the CDC said that men can get pregnant, and we're supposed to trust what the CDC tells us. It is a political arm of the Demon Rat National Committee. Plain and simple. Just as bad as Fauci and the NIH with Mr. Collins leading the way. The National Institute of Health telling us these jabs are effective, that they will help cut down on the number of COVID cases. Lie, lie, lie. After lie, these people have the unmitigated gall to continue to give out mis- and disinformation. And Mayorkas, with his uppity little self, tried to create the Ministry of Truth so that they could go against people who were spreading disinformation about this jab, about this scamdemic. The truth will out itself. Not before Fauci can be sent to prison, I am sure. But that man should be charged with murder. Capital murder. A genocide. Because he pushed these jabs. He wanted to be rich. He wanted to be famous. He got it all. But he should be charged with capital murder. Okay, I'm fired up now. Well, you know, Sandra and I talked about the fact that our government, in its infinite wisdom, has dispersed aerosols across our country. They have, through Bill Gates' foundation, unleashed a torrent of these GMO-modified mosquitoes. They're supposed to get rid of the mosquitoes that have yellow fever, malaria. But they don't tell us about what side effects or what repercussions there could be thanks to their idiocy. Well, here's another one. This was in The Blaze, written by Joseph McKinnon. The USS Hornet has been decommissioned, but it has become the launch site for a new war in the skies. The Marine Cloud Brightening Program's Coastal Atmospheric Aerosol Research and Engagement Project, or CARE, they love their acronyms, don't they? CARE, led by researchers from the University of Washington, took to the deck of the USS Hornet to launch streams of particles into the sky above the San Francisco Bay. Their ultimate objective is apparently to block and reflect sunlight in the hopes of limiting global warming. The researchers behind the geoengineering scheme opted not to announce their experiment. They cited concerns that there might be significant backlash. Well, the American public, or at the very least, the people that were inhabitants of the Bay Area, might want to first hear from the hundreds of scientists who called for the non-use agreement for solar radiation management and stated in an open letter that, quote, the risks of solar geoengineering are poorly understood and can never be fully known. Impacts will vary across regions, and there are uncertainties about the effects on weather patterns, agriculture, and the provision of basic needs of food and water. But they don't care. Oh, they're looking for true science. Global warming. Oh, global warming, the sky is falling. The University of Washington's Department of Atmospheric Sciences conceded that fossil fuel emissions and other human activities have long generated aerosols in the atmosphere that mix in with low-altitude clouds and cause them to brighten and reflect more sunlight. By doing this, we cool the planet, right? Because the sunlight, the rays are refracted and reflected off of these clouds, and it leads to potential cooling. The lead scientist running this cloud project, Robert Wood, noted on his university blog that the team at the CARE facility developed a cloud aerosol research instrument, and this device has multiple nozzles and resembles a snowmaker that can apparently fire trillions of salt particles into the air. The San Francisco Chronicle indicated that the next step of research will entail actually attempting to meddle with the clouds off the coast of California. But there was a study published in 2017 in Nature Communications that indicated aerosols released just in the northern hemisphere could possibly even lead to an increase in droughts, hurricanes, and storms elsewhere. There were a group of 31 top atmospheric scientists that noted in a paper published in Science Advances that there is presently, quote, a lack of a clear understanding of the relationship between aerosol and meteorological conditions and liquid water and cloud fraction adjustments and their timescales, close quote. The scientists added, quote, regional changes in temperature and rainfall could influence heat stress, water availability, crop productivity, and the ability of communities to thrive, close quote. There are widespread concerns over the fallout of such experiments, and it has prompted the Biden administration to distance itself from the CARE experiment. This, even though Joe Biden, resident Joe Biden, signed Congress's Consolidated Appropriations Act of 2022 that provided funding for a scientific assessment of solar and other rapid climate interventions in the context of near-term climate risks and hazards. So they're going to continue this experiment, and we'll see. I mean, who cares what happens to the flyover states? You know, with just the wheat and the corn, the cotton, the food that you eat, doesn't matter. What's it going to do to livestock? Cows, chickens, pigs, sheep. They don't know, but we have to experiment because of global warming. Oh, climate change, it's such a big deal. The only people that talk about climate change are those who are funded, and the only ones that are funded are the ones that are preaching this hoax of climate change. Well, this one was in Blabberbuzz, written by Jennifer Wentworth. There is a group of New York City Council members who are known for their criticism of the police. They have reportedly sought the protection of the same people that they have been beating down and criticizing the NYPD because of a series of death threats. These council members have had their staff express concerns about the alarming threats. One staff member expressed shock at the threats directed at Councilman Chi Osse, C-H-I-O-S-S-E, a Democrat from Brooklyn. A staff member for Councilwoman Shahana Hanif, also a Democrat from Brooklyn, voiced concerns about the elevated and especially concerning threats received via phone calls to her office. Council members Yusuf Salam, a Democrat from Manhattan, Carlina Rivero, a Democrat from Manhattan, along with Osa and Hanif, have been prominent critics of the NYPD, but now they want their protection. The hypocrisy is thick with council people, with mayors, with city governments, with state governments, with federal representatives and senators calling to defund the police. But as soon as something bad happens, what do? They call 911. They want somebody to protect them. They don't want to be out there on the fighting lines during all of this. There was an article last week. Adam Schiff was supposed to go to some muckety-muck dinner. Well, he parked his car in a parking garage out in California. And I don't remember the city. It could have been San Francisco, but it could have been any of them. Oakland, San Francisco, L.A., doesn't really matter, does it? He came back to the car to get his suit so he could talk to these muckety-mucks that were funding his Senate campaign. And lo and behold, thugs had broke into his car and stole his luggage. There was another report I read, and I can't remember where. I think it might have been Denver, where the mayor was going to give a presentation downtown, and his car got stolen. But we need to defund the police. We need to do away with the cops because they're bad. There's bad everywhere. How many politicians would you trust to babysit your children or grandchildren? None? Maybe one? Not very many. How many of your local council people or mayor, city manager, whatever the case may be, would you trust to babysit your children? I can't say that there would be many there either. But these are the people making the edicts in your local township, or making laws in your state, or making laws for the country. It is a sad state of affairs right now that we have rulers, not representatives, rulers that know better, and they're going to take care of everything for you. Why do you think those sycophants that follow Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum go along when Schwab says you will own nothing and you will like it? You will be content in all your ways because we're going to take care of you. You won't own anything. And social credit, well, if your score reaches too low, you won't be able to afford a house, an apartment, a loft. You'll be homeless. You won't be able to afford food, social credit. They want you to comply. They want you to become good little serfs. My, my, my. Well, that's going to take care of the first half. I want to thank you for tuning in and giving me some of your time. We're going to have to take a brief pause, and when I come back, we're going to dive right back into some more secrets. This is volume 331. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Stay with us, won't you? I'll be right back. Hello, friends. Jerry Barrett back with you again. I want to tell you about an outstanding book that Tex Mars published quite a few years ago and could be censored for telling the truth. Thanks to this new Anti-Semitism Act that has gone through Congress and is now heading to the Senate, it is entitled DNA Science and the Jewish Bloodline. Who are the Jews? What is their ancestry? Are the Jews a homogeneous race? Are Jews descended from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Today, DNA science reveals that almost all the Jews in the world come from Khazaria. They are not of the blood lineage of Abraham and the prophets, but of King Bulan and the pagan peoples of the Caucasus. The ancestors of today's Jews are not Israelites, but are Khazarians. Khazaria's people in the 8th century converted from paganism to Judaism. In the 10th century, these Khazarian Jewish converts emigrated to Eastern Europe, especially Poland and Lithuania. In 1948, the Khazars, erroneously believing themselves to be Jews, arrived in the territory of Palestine and set up the State of Israel. The people of Israel today are virtually all of Turk, Mongol, Khazarian stock. The Jews have no genetic claims to the land of Israel and no family connection whatsoever to historical Israel. DNA science joins recent discoveries in history and archaeology to present the world with a correct and remarkable picture of the Jewish people. Now, everything changes. DNA Science and the Jewish Bloodline. 256-page book authored by Tex Mars. We're only asking $20. Please add $6 shipping and handling. That will make your total $26. If you do not have a copy of this book, it is imperative that you get yours today. Get multiple copies. Pass them out to friends. That's how vital this work is. You can order your copy of DNA Science and the Jewish Bloodline by phoning us toll-free in the United States and Canada at 1-800-234-9673. If you care to phone our regular line, that number is 512-263-9780. We are in the office Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central. We accept Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express. If you want to order a copy of DNA Science on our webpage, go to our secure shopping cart at powerofprophecy.com. You'll find an ad for DNA Science right there on the main page. You click on it, put in your name, address, charge card, shipping method, hit submit. We'll get the order, and we'll get it coming to you, okay? Now, if you want to send in a check, money order, or cash, please make sure your check or money order is made out to Power of Prophecy, and you can mail it to us here at 4819 R.O. Drive, Suite 102, Spicewood, Texas, and our zip code is 78669. Now, if you've already gotten our newsletter, you will see that we are in need of financial backing for a new air conditioning unit. The one that we raised funds for, 4 years ago, 5 years ago. We used all of that money to upgrade the system and run new ductwork to try to cool the warehouse area where we pack and ship everything. Well, our unit has given up the ghost. So if you can afford to throw in a love gift to help us offset the cost of this new air conditioning unit, we would greatly appreciate it. Okay? Now, let's return to our regular program. Today we're discussing secrets, and I want to jump right to this one from the Gateway Pundit, written by Margaret Flavin. You know, it was fine for these demon rats that held public office in their cities to say that they wanted to be a sanctuary state, that they would be a safe haven for illegal aliens. Well, excuse me, undocumented immigrants. Well, thanks to DeSantis in Florida, Abbott here in Texas, they've been shipping these illegal aliens to these sanctuary cities. And they're not happy about it because all of a sudden their cities are being inundated with high numbers of miscreants, the scourge of the country they came from, predominantly Venezuela here lately, and they're not handling it very well. I told you about the officer in Denver that tried to talk all of the illegals to leave because they were running out of money and they weren't going to be able to take care of them. You need to go to Chicago. You need to go to New York. We'll make it happen. We'll hook you up. But you can't stay in Denver. And I did a program on the fact that they have claimed that illegal aliens are not the reason for the increase in violent crime. They're not a reason for the crime rate increases, period. On average, they commit less crimes than American citizens do. That's the mantra that the controlled media and the demon rats have tried to propagandize you with. But in this article, we find out that the city of Chicago, a demon rat-controlled sanctuary city, have made more than 1,000 arrests of illegal Venezuelan nationals in the first 3 months of 2024. The new numbers have been analyzed, and the argument has shifted from illegals commit less crime to now they have to say they commit less violent felonies. Isn't that clever? Like they changed the definition of a vaccine 3 times in 2021, I think it was. Well, now they're having to change illegal aliens commit less violent felonies instead of crime. The Chicago Tribune published an article pushing the new narrative titled, quote, "Migrant arrests are up, but they're rarely accused of violent felonies," close quote. According to their analysis, there were 609 arrests for driving traffic offenses, 9 violent felonies, 75 violent misdemeanors, and 313 other offenses listed as nonviolent, and 9 others listed as unknown or not listed. Additionally, this data shows a shoplifting surge with a high share of Venezuelan arrests. The Tribune analysis found a much higher than typical share of native Venezuelans' arrests were for alleged thefts, particularly shoplifting or walking off without paying a tab. The analysis found the biggest effect was seen around downtown in the heart of the shopping district known as the Loop. In the past 19 months, theft arrests in which police listed the suspect's birth country, 1 in 5 of the arrests were Venezuelans. The analysis found the biggest spike in December and January is the block that houses Macy's flagship store on North State Street, where Chicago police arrested 76 adults in 2 months on theft charges. More than 40% were listed as Venezuelan. That doesn't include an additional 95 people that the Cook County Sheriff's deputies arrested and a special shoplifting theft detail, roughly half of whom were Venezuelans. Now, Matt Christensen has an excellent analysis of the shift in the narrative. And I've got a great clip from his Twitter page. I want you to hear what Matt has to say.
Migrant arrests are up in Chicago, but they are rarely accused of violent felonies. Yeah, so are most people. So that's not really an accomplishment, more of a baseline expectation. But congratulations. Before it was, they commit fewer crimes. Now it's more, but they're not that serious. Chicago is a great test for this claim for a couple reasons. One, because it's a sanctuary city that has intentionally opened itself to this influx, even though sending migrants there exactly as city policy endorses is somehow bad, racist, and evil-spirited.
He is attacking democratically ran cities, and particularly cities that are being led by black leaders or leaders of color. Not only is it reckless and raggedy, but it is evil-spirited.
But two, it's a good test because of the volume of that influx. It's a large sample size. Some 40,000 asylum seekers have arrived in Chicago in under 2 years. Even if the numbers are large, though, we do still have that question of data quality, of course, since Chicago is also a sanctuary city. They likewise do not track immigration status on arrest, but they do track the arrestee's country of birth. And in this case, that is a very close proxy because 80% of the migrant arrivals in Chicago are Venezuelans. So for the most part, Venezuelan-born means recent Venezuelan asylum-seeking arrival. It's not perfect, but it is certainly close enough to get a pretty good idea. So the Chicago Tribune analyzed arrest records for Venezuelan-born people, and the results are quite significantly skewed and not in the direction of lower crime rates, as is commonly propagandized. Over 1,000 Venezuelans have been arrested in Chicago in just the first 3 months of 2024. So roughly 2.5 arrests for every 100 Venezuelan people. That is, in fact, a higher arrest rate than the U.S. population at large. But those arrest numbers are much more striking when you consider them as a percentage of arrests overall.
Now, the mayor, Mr. Johnson, blamed Abbott for sending these criminal migrants to the sanctuary city of Chicago. Chicago is now a border state, just like New York, New York City, Denver. But Mayor Johnson said that we are targeting, our governor here in Texas, is targeting mayors of color. No, he's targeting idiots. And if you don't understand that, that's your problem. Okay, let's move on from the migrants to an atrocity that was perpetrated in the state of Arizona. There is a rancher named George A. Kelly. He was arrested and charged with murder. And the collusion to put this man behind bars and charge him is unbelievable. You would think that the departments out there, law enforcement, the DA, the attorney general, that they are here to protect us. But these same people went out of their way to prosecute Mr. Kelly based on handcrafted testimony from a twice convicted foreign gun runner. It seems George and his wife, Wanda, were eating lunch inside their ranch on the Arizona-Mexico border. They heard a shot, looked up and saw a group of armed migrants on their land. George quickly told Wanda to hide, called Border Patrol for help, and fired warning shots above the heads into the trees of these armed illegal immigrants. The Border Patrol came to the property. They searched the area, found nothing. George later went to go check on his old horse, and he found a body. He called law enforcement immediately. The body was Gabriel Buitimea, who had multiple arrests for illegal crossings. No bullet or weapon was found on or near the body. But the very next day, George was charged with first-degree murder, put on a $1 million bail, and from that point on, the case was never about facts. It became a political argument. Sheriff David Hathaway blatantly lied about George A. Kelly before the trial. He says, Kelly is an outsider who came to hunt me some Mexicans. Sheriff Hathaway is everything we've come to expect from activists in law enforcement. He's been one of the only sheriffs claiming Title 42 is bad. He endorsed Katie Hobbs. He hates Carrie Lake. And he was the strongest, largest voice in blocking Governor Ducey's efforts to secure the border. The most glaring issue of the case? There were zero forensics. There's no gunshot residue. The place that would have been most likely to have it would have been the backpack, but it was never tested. No bullet was ever found. There is no proof this came from George's gun. So remember, George and his wife were sitting having lunch when they heard a gunshot. That's when they ran outside. Well, he ran outside. He told her to hide like a good husband. Was that when the body was shot? And then George saw these armed migrants on his property, trespassing illegally, carrying weapons, and he scared him off shooting his gun. There was no forensic evidence. Zero. The only reason he got off, it's a hung jury. There was one member of the jury who refused to acquit the man. Seven were for acquittal, and one little simp bought the lie from the prosecutor. For now, they're not going to retry Mr. Kelly. They're going to let him go. He's going to sell the ranch. He's leaving Arizona. He doesn't want anything to do with that dung heap anymore. Do you blame him? Because I sure can't. I've spoken repeatedly about this zero bail, no bail garbage that New York and California have implemented. And, excuse me, now Illinois, thanks to your Governor Pritzker. These lawbreakers are arrested and turned out in a revolving door. But this system is leading to more and more heartache, and people are becoming fed up and tired of it. A 4-year-old boy, Gor Adamyan, was killed after a road rage incident involving 8 shots being fired into the car he was riding in with his parents. The alleged murderer is Byron Burkhart. He was in a vehicle with Alexandria Gentile. I guess they were a couple. And Burkhart has now been charged with 1 count of murder, 2 counts of attempted murder, 1 count of shooting at an occupied vehicle, and 5 counts of possession of a firearm by a felon. Gentile was originally arrested on suspicion of murder, but she has been released, and there have been no charges filed on her at this time. Lancaster, California Mayor Rex Paris said Burkhart should not have been on the street. This particular suspect was in custody a week ago for a gun-related felony, and they had to let him go because of the new bail laws. This is in reference to L.A. County's bail laws that took effect that put an end to suspects in many crimes being held until they can post bond. Miguel Coronado is a representative for the family. He said, quote, "Apparently the family cut them off. They started following the family, got in front of them, continuously harassed them. The woman at that time reached for the gun and handed it to the shooter," close quote. The sheriff's department said the vehicle the suspects were in pulled up next to the vehicle in which the child was riding. Multiple shots were fired, and one struck the boy in the torso. Can you imagine a parent with a child in the back seat getting shot at by an idiot, a criminal that should still be behind bars? And the last words from this boy was something to the effect that "I'm hurt." The parents took the boy to the hospital, but he died there at the hospital. 4 years old. Road rage. A lack of caring for individuals. A lack of respect for the life of a 4-year-old boy. Well, David Hogg, you remember him from Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School, where he was a student. There was a shooting there in Parkland, Florida. Well, he has crusaded across the country pushing for gun control. But I think he bit off more than he could chew this time. There is a New Hampshire congressional candidate who confronted this gun control nut, David Hogg, and declared she will not be giving up her firearms because there is no guarantee the United States could not fall into tyranny. Her name is Lily Tang Williams. She's a congressional candidate in New Hampshire, and she attended this gun control debate at Dartmouth College. Ms. Tang Williams is adamantly pro-gun since emigrating from communist China and has noted on her platform she grew up under Mao Zedong. During the question period of the event, Ms. Tang Williams approached the audience microphone to ask David Hogg a question. And I've got the audio. She's a little hard to understand because she is a Chinese immigrant, but if you listen close enough, what she has to say should resonate.
Hi, my name is Lily Tang Williams. I am a Chinese immigrant who survived communism. And under Mao, 40 million people were starving to death after he sold the communism to them. And 20 million people died, murdered during his Cultural Revolution. So my question to you, David, is that can you guarantee me, a gun owner tonight, our government in the U.S., in D.C., will never, never become a tyrannical government? Can you guarantee that to me?
There's no way I can ever guarantee that any government will not be tyrannical.
Well, then the debate on gun control is over because I will never give up my guns. Never, never. And you should go to China to see how gun control works for dictatorship of CCP.
You need to get on a plane, David, and you need to fly to Beijing and live for 6 months and see how gun control works. Let's see. This idea of gun control worked. Let's see. Mao Zedong, Stalin, Lenin, Pol Pot, Hitler. She's not giving up her gun. Good for her. Oh, that was too funny not to share, because she has lived in communist China, the CCP. She knows how tyrannical dictatorships are. She suffered under it, and she's not going to suffer anymore. And now she's running for Congress. Good for her. Well, this one here, do you remember in 2023, a high school student had his Nintendo Switch removed by a teacher's aide, and he went nuts and he beat her senseless, left her bloody and in a heap on the floor? This student's name is Brendan Deppa. He's a student in Florida. He assaulted this teacher's aide because she confiscated his Nintendo Switch. He has now lodged a complaint against Flagler Schools with the Florida Department of Education. This complaint alleges that the school's negligence contributed to the incident. Deppa, who was 17 at the time, pleaded no contest to the charge of aggravated battery of a school employee. But his attorney, Stephanie Langer, said the incident could have been prevented. Now, if you've already got the May newsletter, if you haven't, it's on its way to you. But in the May newsletter, I talk about the fact that nobody wants accountability anymore. This young man assaulted a teacher's aide, but it's not his fault. He's going to prison for a very long time because he deserves it. He is not fit to be in society, but it's not his fault, according to his attorney. In the complaint, his attorney says that Deppa suffers from emotional behavior disorder, intermittent explosive disorder, mood disorder, and ADHD. This complaint further asserts the student's needs had been properly addressed by the staff around him, and they had been properly trained. This incident would not have occurred. How can you know? He is a thug, a punk. He attacked a human, and now he doesn't want to accept accountability. But he's going to face it. This attack made national headlines in February of 2023. A resource officer reported that this teacher's aide had been physically attacked, leaving her unconscious, bloody, and severely injured. Arrest reports reveal that Deppa threatened to beat her up every time she takes away his game, and ominously warned that when he comes back, he's going to kill her. This woman has damage that you can't see. Emotional scars from this beatdown. Deppa is 6'6" and 270 pounds. This little teacher, this female teacher, is itty-bitty, and he beat her senseless. He is facing 30 years in prison, but he was triggered because they didn't take care of him. Good night, nurse. Come on. He doesn't need to be in society. He can't control his urges, his anger. Let's see how the punk survives in prison, beating a little teacher. My wife was a teacher. That aggravates me to no end. She was assaulted by a student, a fourth grader. This same fourth grader bit the principal. Uncontrollable. Whose fault? The teacher? The administration? Or the parents? Because I saw a meme the other day that I came from the era of, if you threw a fit in the store, laid on the floor crying, mom walked up and she said, and I'm not kidding, if you don't knock it off, I will give you something to cry about. Today, they want to be the best friend. They want to continue to nurture and love and be the best friend and not be a parent. Discipline doesn't mean that you beat them, but a good paddling takes care of a lot of the ills, and we have gotten away from that because we're afraid. And now kids are calling CPS saying that my parents are beating me. They're being mean to me. And the parents go through hell. I know because a dear friend of mine and his wife went through this. Come to find out, their daughter, his stepdaughter, her daughter, lied to the police, lied to CPS. She paid the price. She eventually came clean. But they went through hell and all the trials and tribulations that come with clearing your name with CPS so that the child can come home. Goodness gracious. The nut jobs are running the asylum these days. And here's another one. A staff member is suing a college where she was employed because she was demoted allegedly because of her race. Her name is Rochelle Hoffman. She was promoted as the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire's interim director of the campus's Multicultural Student Services Office. She's had to file a lawsuit claiming she was demoted because students complained to the former vice chancellor for equity, diversity, and inclusion and student affairs, Olga Diaz, about Ms. Hoffman's race. Students reportedly told Diaz a white woman was not equipped to serve in a role created to benefit minorities. Ms. Hoffman faced hostility with fellow staff members. They questioned her legitimacy following her promotion, but she had worked for the university's Blue Gold Beginnings office for 6 years prior to being promoted. The office served underrepresented, low-income, and first-generation students. Despite her exceptional qualification, students, faculty, and staff opposed her appointment because she was white. Her performance review said she exceeds expectations and was rated as outstanding while working in Blue Gold Beginnings and the Multicultural Student Services. Only white people can be racist? Negative, Ghost Rider. That pattern is closed. That is a bold-faced lie. The sad thing is, I bet this woman votes demon rat. She's in that culture. Academia, where we need to take care of everybody instead of making them self-sufficient. I'm going to close with this one. You know, California raised its minimum wage for fast food workers. Happened April 1st. I erroneously said April 8th, but it was April 1st when it came into effect. $20 an hour minimum wage. Mod Pizza has 500 stores nationwide. They had to shut down 5 branches in California in late March. Employees for the Clovis store, which closed abruptly, believe these actions were in response to the new wage law effective in April. Now, this minimum wage applies to certain fast food chains with at least 60 locations, but it excludes bakeries because Panera Bread donates to Gavin Newsom. They had to get that loophole in. But Newsom claims this law was going to improve wages and conditions for over 500,000 fast food workers in California. But cause and effect. Politicians never take into account cause and effect. The wage hike has led to job cuts as businesses anticipate financial strain. Foster's Freeze and Lemoore closed down due to wage increases. Monica Navarro, a former assistant general manager at Foster's Freeze, discovered the closure when she arrived at work. The owner, Lauren Wright, stated closing was a difficult but necessary decision given the expected inability to manage the wage rise. Michael Ojeda, a Pizza Hut delivery driver, was informed by his employer he is going to lose his job due to these changes. So how beneficial was this $20 an hour minimum wage, Gavin? Rumor has it you want to be president. You're an idiot. You have no business being in White House. You can't even handle the affairs of California. Your state's going bankrupt. You're taxing people to leave the state. And leave they are. Idiocy 101. Gavin Newsom. Well, that's going to take care of this week's program. I want to thank you for tuning in and giving me an hour of your time. As always, I greatly appreciate it. And I pray you will tune in again next week at this same time. Tune in and discover the power of prophecy.